Today is Father's Day, and I know that, by the way, if it's dark blue and in that font and underlined, then chances are if you get bored by the speaker, you can take sermon notes and stay awake. I know some people have a hard time staying awake, and so if you want to take sermon notes, you've got them there, and that means there's a blank in your sermon notes. I understand that Mother's Day and Father's Day can be a double-edged sword. You know, some of us had really good dads, and some of us not so good dads. I'm personally still trying to be a good dad. I'm still trying to get good at it. I haven't arrived yet. Some of us had amazing dads, and some of us, the dads didn't know what to do. Some of our dads just left. Now, we got a shed out back that we can, if we find them, we'll take them out back, okay? That's not what's supposed to happen, but I understand that today can be a very difficult day because some of us had good dads and some of us had dads that were either not good and or were absent. And so I know it's really difficult. But today, let's look at the ultimate father, and we all know who the ultimate father is. In fact, Scripture says that we can call him Abba Father. Abba Father, which means dad. You know, my dad, when I was growing up, he did not know the Lord. He was not born again. And I never heard my dad say, I love you. And then later in life, my dad did pray to receive Christ. And I'm telling you, you know, if my dad were here, you wouldn't get out of this church without a hug, okay? We're not talking about me, we're talking about my dad. Not talking about me, we're talking about my dad. My dad now is a hug. Man, he will squeeze the life out of you almost. And on the phone or in person, every time, son, I love you, son, I love you, son, I love you. You know, it is so cool. And here's where we get this. The Apostle Paul said, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. When you pray to the Father in heaven, I hope that you don't have any fear. I hope that when you sin and you stumble and you make a mistake, that you don't run and hide. Rather, you run into his arms. Because he's your son or daughter, okay? It's a universal term that's used here. We cry, Abba, Father, because he is our dad in heaven. I still remember, I told you this. I've been trying not to repeat myself, but this one is so important. I was at a big camp meeting, thousands of people there, and I prayed, Abba, Father. And I got several letters in the mail. How dare you call God the Father your Abba Father? Who do you think you are? That's literally what they said. Who do you think you are? And I was kind. I really was. You know, it's hard for me to be kind sometimes. But I really was. And I just wrote a letter back. I understand what your feeling is, but actually I am a son of God. I am a son of God based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I can call him Abba. And what does Abba mean? Someone tell me what Abba means. It means dad. It actually means daddy. I honestly don't go that far, but I call him dad. I don't call my own dad daddy. But I call him dad, Abba Father, dad in heaven. My goodness. The king, does anyone here know President Trump? Can anyone go and shake his hand? Can anyone, hey, text him this morning? If you can, get your phone out right now and text him and say, hey, let's do lunch tomorrow. Can anyone do that? I know I can't. But your Father in heaven is your dad. You can stop right now and say, hey, dad, can we chat? And he will. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is your dad. The guy that spoke the universe into existence and sustains it is your dad. I've told you before, when people have been really mean to me, I've told them, you better be careful. You don't know who my dad is. You best be careful because he's going to get ticked off at you and he's going to hurt you. We'll move on. Being a Christ-like father is not, and you guys have heard this before, it's not hard, it's
impossible.
Being a Christ-like dad, being a Christ-like father isn't hard, it is impossible. The Christian life isn't hard, it's impossible. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be, so that we humble ourselves and ask God to come and accomplish it in us and through us. Here's extra stuff. Whenever it's in green, it means that the Lord has spoken to me since Thursday morning and added to it. Colossians 3:21. Here's what it says. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Okay, dads, anyone done that? I was thinking, you know, my kids could get me 0 to 100 in milliseconds if they talk back to their mom. That was the one button in me that if they push that button, if they talk back to Lynette, in milliseconds, I was 100 mile an hour. In milliseconds. But you know what that said about me? You know why it really irked me? Because it reminded me of when I talked back to my mom. And I was ashamed of it. And that is why it pushed my button so hard. And when I went and asked and apologized for those things, it made a huge difference. So at least it took a few seconds before I hit 100 mile an hour. Instead of milliseconds, it only took seconds. But I can tell you, dads that are here, if your kids do things that really push your buttons, it could be that God's using that as a mirror to show something in your life. That's what he's done in my life over and over and over again. But the Word of God says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Gee, I left it up here. At least I didn't look around forever for it. Hint, how long did it take God to get you to where you are today? You know, my dad's a great dad. Wasn't a believer growing up, and regularly he said, what were you thinking there, son? What were you thinking there, young man? Well, actually, I wasn't thinking. You know, new brain technology shows that some parts of the brain don't even function, especially in boys, because early on, boys, you know, that their brains are drenched in testosterone, and some of our brains are still drenched in it. You know, the need for speed has nothing to do with drugs. It's just RPM and horsepower. Yesterday, I went to the regatta. Someone's teaching me how to take pictures, and I went to the regatta. Man, there was one boat there, 104 mile an hour. The only thing I wish is I was in it. Yeah. Man, that baby was flying. It was so cool. No testosterone here. But please, when our kids frustrate us, can we just ask the question, gee, how long did it take God to get me where I am? I mean, he's working on me for 60 years. And I expect what out of a teenager or younger? Are you with me, dads? Ladies, you're just invited to listen in, okay? This is Dad's Day. You're just invited to listen in. And you can elbow if you want every once in a while. So our Abba Father, I believe ultimately, our ultimate example is God the Father. And now we're back on course with the sermon notes. And yes, that's a blank. Psalm 103. I love Psalm 103. I love reading Psalm 103. By the way, I have 66 favorite books. I love Psalm 103. And I just took portions out of it. It's verses 8 through 10 and 13 through 14, but the whole thing is nothing about blessings, but these are the ones that are really appropriate for today. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. You know, as I grew up, this wasn't my view of God. I thought he was the cosmic killjoy. I thought that I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, that old expression, I don't know if that works here in West Virginia, but man, anything, I thought, you know, I came forward, my motive. I realized this week, you know, the motive you started out with, it's okay if you started out with fear. There was one motive that sent me to the altar when I was 11 years old. I was terrified. I was terrified. I was scared that if I died that night, I would go to H-E-L-L. H-E double hockey sticks. I would go to eternal separation from God, eternal punishment, and all that. And all of that is true. All of that is true. Don't believe anyone that says that hell is an imaginary place. Jesus spoke of hell more than he even spoke of heaven. It's a real place. It's a real place. That's why Jesus came and died on that cross, so that we wouldn't have to go there. Why would Jesus come and die on a cross and be crucified if it wasn't that serious? Sin is serious. By the way, one of the boats yesterday was named Sin and it broke down. Poor guy. You need a new name, man. I didn't tell him that. He was so frustrated, the poor guy. Sin is real. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Now, I don't care what your motive is. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Men, are we slow to anger? Sometimes we just have so much emotion built up that it just comes out. It just comes out. Because we haven't dealt with it in a healthy way. Why did I just say I could hit 0 to 100 in milliseconds when my kids talk back to Lynette? Because I hadn't dealt with stuff that was in my life. It reminded me of me and it ticked me off. I love it goes on. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Is anger a sin? Now, I was raised, if my mom listens to these, and it terrifies me a little bit, I hope we can blank that out, okay? I'm sure I was wrong and didn't understand it, but I thought that when I was growing up, anger was sin. I really thought that. Lord, help you if you were the opponent on the lacrosse field, because we weren't allowed to be angry, but on the lacrosse field, I could take you out, and it was okay. It was legal. Never hit anyone illegal, but it was legal. And God, yes, anger isn't a sin, but this says, yes, God can get angry, but it's not going to stay there forever. It won't stay there forever because he's slow and compassionate, full of mercy and grace. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Man, this Father's Day, I already sent the card off to my dad. I called my dad, didn't get through today, but I, again, apologize. I'm telling you. I was that kid that took everything apart. I still remember my parents saying, someday you're going to have kids of your own. Please put that tool back. Are you with me, men? Oh, my goodness. The tools that I lost and were out in the yard and rusted. I hate it whenever we mowed the yard and found another tool that I forgot out there. Oh, my goodness. Dads, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. I apologize to my dad again for all the tools that I lost of his. You know, I started working on cars when I was young, and people would drive back and say, hey, you left this under the hood. Thanks. Sorry, Dad. One of the smartest things my dad ever did was buy me my own toolbox. And when I lost that, oh, my goodness. Oh, was that a disaster. Okay, so dads, our Father in heaven doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Because all of that was placed on Jesus, our older brother. Our older brother, all that was placed on Jesus. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And now this next one, I just love it, love it, love it, love it. He remembers how we were formed. He knows how we were formed. He remembers we're but dust. Can we remember that our kids are just kids? I don't care if they're adult kids. Man, some parts of this brain doesn't form until way later, especially for guys. Some of them never form. Can we remember? Man, let's just remember. I am so encouraged that when I mess up again, that my Father in heaven remembers that I'm just a person. He understands. He understands. Now, I'm not saying you don't correct your kids. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And if you're not disciplined of the Lord, you're an illegitimate child. And then it goes on to say, now no discipline seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. Is discipline ever fun? The woodshed is never fun. But afterward. And that's why discipline, the motive of discipline is always love. To help shape us and form us into the image of Jesus. All discipline is for that. All discipline is for that. You know, when I got spanked, it was because I was begging for it. You got any kids that beg for it? I just got one more. If your kid's begging for it, don't disappoint them. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about doing stuff in anger. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And everyone that he draws to himself is disciplined. And Jesus said, we're all pruned so that we can produce even more fruit. We are all pruned so that we can produce even more fruit. John chapter 15. And now, dads, we start out kind of, this isn't hard, this is impossible. I believe it's impossible to be a Christ-like dad. I believe that in our own strength, the best of the best of the best fall short. So what do? Acts. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is Jesus is speaking, gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift God... I'm reading both screens. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now the fulfillment of that, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came and rested upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to one another in tongues as the Spirit enables them. Jesus commanded his disciples, don't just go out and do ministry. Just don't, and I'm saying just don't go out and try and be a good dad. Don't go out and just try and be a good dad because I promise you're going to fail. Don't go out and try and be a godly mom because I promise you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And that's why Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's going to come. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this command directly from Paul, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And basically this says be being filled. It's not a one-time thing. It's be being filled in the original language. That's the intent or of the construction there. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you're living a life of up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, and you wonder why you can't get your act together. No one can. It's only through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we have more ups than we have downs. Don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, seek ye first. Seek it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I'll say this till the day I die. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key to a victorious Christian life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's just, they're not steps, but here's just things that we can do, that we should be doing. Seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Every single day I ask, if you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? Luke 11:11 through 13. If you being evil, dads, did any of you get good gifts already today? Anyone have breakfast already? Have your wife smile this morning? If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask. How many of us ask every single day? It's the promise. Ask. James says you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it. Now, if your motives are all screwed up, it's not going to happen. But if you're sincerely asking, Father, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be used of you this day. Please come. Seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not filling of the Holy Spirit just so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's how we can grow in intimacy with the Lord and know him even more every day. And then walking in the power of the resurrection. Anyone here want to walk in the power of the resurrection? Man, I do. Just this week, I forget, somewhere in Florida, there was road rage that went on. Both people were killed. Someone cut someone off. The guy came out to apologize for what he did. The guy shot him. That guy had concealed permit and shot him. They both died. Road rage. That's not walking in the power of the resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ. That is not it. Now, sometimes all it takes is a slow driver. And I get, what's wrong with this person? Get a license. Park that thing. If you can't drive, park it. Now, I know you guys would never, ever say that kind of thing. I don't say it out loud, but I sure think it. Or if someone's tailgating me and on my butt, especially on my motorcycle, someone's tailgating me. Oh, I just love that. I just love that. Now I just pull off and let them go. And they're going to the hospital. They're going to some, I don't know where they're going, but I make any excuse for them. Just let them go. And I just turn my music on a little louder and ride down the road. You know, Paul says that we can walk in the power of the resurrection of Jesus. It's there for us. It's there for us. How many of us walked every day in the power of the resurrection this week? It's there for us. That's what Scripture says. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the resurrection. And then this last one, and you guys are going to get out early. Dads, you're going to get to eat even earlier, and the people out there are going to be stunned. What happened to Jeff this week? He's not long-winded. Wisdom in apologizing. Some of us need to apologize. Some of us need to apologize. I am amazed. My son and daughter aren't here today, so I can't embarrass them unless they listen to the message. But I've been amazed every time I've blown it with my kids and I've gone and apologized. They have instantly forgiven me. Dads, if you're afraid that your children won't forgive you, please don't believe that lie. Jesus said in Matthew 18, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Forgive. And he talks about little children. Children are able to forgive better than we can. Every time I've gone to my kids when they were small and even adult, please forgive me, I blew it. I was wrong. Not even daddy was wrong. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Through God's empowerment, I'll do better. Please forgive me. And by the way, if you see me doing this again, you're welcome to bring it up. I am amazed. See, I grew up in a generation where you don't apologize to kids. That's a sign of weakness. I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit. That is a lie from the pit. If you have wronged, if the Holy Spirit's convicted you about something, go. And I'm only talking Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you, because the enemy's going to come and he's going to rail all kinds of things against you. He's going to make all kinds of false accusations. I'm not talking about any of that. True Holy Spirit conviction. True Holy Spirit conviction. Does anyone have difficulty? And it's okay if you do. If you can't tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and the enemy attacking you, come and talk to me or one of the elders. Sometimes it's really difficult. If it's already under the blood, That's not the Holy Spirit. If you've already confessed it and it's under the blood, that's not the Holy Spirit who's going to bring it up again. Remember, as far as the east is from the west, in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if it's under the blood, if you've already confessed it and it's being brought up again, that's probably the enemy, not the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is convicting you about something, if you just lost your temper and you've been yelling at your kids, you've been doing whatever, go to them and apologize. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of character. It's a sign that you're a humble child of God that can own what you do wrong. And I promise you, well, I can't promise you, it's always worked for me. But I have great kids. I don't know about your kids. I have great kids. They have always forgiven, always forgiven, always forgiven. I'm amazed at their capacity. Because you guys are getting to know me enough that you know I am a piece of work, and I'm not talking about good work. I'm talking about a piece of work. Okay? I make mistakes just like everyone else. I am full of testosterone. Okay? There ain't much of the other stuff in me. Lynette tried to pound it out. She gave up. Hearing the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, you cannot go wrong. You cannot. Your children will respect you and honor you. It's not a sign of weakness. But let's begin. Holy Spirit, please come. Holy Spirit, fill us. He's the one that can fill us and then flow through us so that literally we can walk in the power of the resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead can give us new life. And wisdom in apologizing. You might say, you don't ever see Jesus apologizing. That's because he never did anything wrong. So we can't look to Jesus on this one, because he never did anything wrong. This is free. Can you imagine Jesus' parents when they lost him in Jerusalem? You know, I lost my kids at the rim of the Grand Canyon. They lost the Son of God. Can you imagine how freaked they had to be? They lost the Son of God. They lost the Messiah. I think they did that to make all of us feel better. Well, I never did that. I'm making fun. Please, these are key things. Humbly beg, Holy Spirit, please come. Please come. Allow him to flow in us and through us. And when needed, dads, let's admit our wrong. Let's admit when we're wrong. Man, if you're lost, pull over and get directions. If you're lost, if you're wrong, own it. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, meekness is strength under control. It's what it really means. Meekly apologize. And so here's your homework for today. I know your dads, you're going to have special meals and all that kind of thing, but sometime during the day, in what way is this Father's Day either a delight or possibly a difficulty? Second thing, being a Christ-like father is not hard, it's impossible. What do you think about this? Do you think it's true? And finally, in your thinking, how is being a Christ-like father linked to being filled with the Holy Spirit? How are they linked together? And then finally, we're going to close in worship. So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, some silent prayer, and then we're going to worship together in closing. Please, let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come and fill us. That's the only hope we have. The Spirit of living God falling fresh on us and empowering us. That's the only hope we have. Worship team, you're welcome to come up, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that you're the ultimate example. You're our Abba Father. I thank you that you are slow to anger. You're abounding in love. You remember what we are and who we are. You remember. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you've sent the promised Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, please, even now come. Even now come, Holy Spirit. You've been here through the whole story. You've been here from the very beginning. From Pastor Trevor's announcements to the prayer, to the worship, through the offering, through the video. You've been here, Holy Spirit. But I'm asking that you would come powerfully in a new and a fresh way in each one of us, beginning in me. I need you. Please come. Please come as only you can. Come and fill each one of us. Come and speak to each one of us. And if there's things that we need to own, if there's things that we need to apologize for, Holy Spirit, even right now, in this moment of silence, please come and speak to each one of us here. Please just come, Holy Spirit, come. In this moment of silence, come. So thankful that your words, as you spoke through Paul, and you said that you who began a good work in us will bring it about to its completion. Thank you that you don't give up. You keep working in my life and in our lives. Thank you, thank you. Our destiny, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you don't give up on us. I even thank you for your discipline and your pruning, because it's done in love. Now no discipline seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. Please continue your work in me and in us. Form Christ in us at whatever cost, because we know that it'll be administered in love. For the men who are here, transform us into Christ-like men, to godly dads. So that we can encourage our children, follow me as I'm pursuing the Lord, follow me, let's go together. I thank you for the work that you're doing in me and in us, and that we know how the story ends. We know our destiny is to be Christ-like, our destiny is to be in heaven with you. And so please, encourage, encourage, literally fill my brothers and sisters with courage to seek you even more. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Abba, Father, may all of this be a pleasing aroma unto you. We ask these things, I ask these things, we ask these things, and we ask them in your name. And so we pray that expectantly, things are going to happen, even today. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.